WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. It's Friday here in The Opening Bell. Our focus now turns to the business of aviation and travel. And joining us this morning via Skype from Los Angeles is Brian Summers, Senior Aviation Business Editor at Skift.com. Brian, I want to begin this morning with 737 MAX because it's been in the news this past week, and we've seen some impact, too, with Boeing on that. The aircraft, of course, grounded after two fatal crashes. What's the latest on this, and what is it? How is it impacting Boeing specifically?
Yeah, Steve, some interesting developments coming out in the past week. First, the good news, or at least what people in the industry think is the good news. Folks are pretty sure that this airplane is going to be approved to fly pretty soon and could be back in the air early next year. We've heard things like this before, but Boeing had its earnings call this week. Its executives were fairly confident that this was going to happen, at least in the United States. The U.S. airlines, for the most part, don't know exactly when they'll fly the airplane again. But maybe if we give ourselves some wiggle room, we can say first quarter of next year. So that's the good news. The less good news is, you know, there have been lots of people, and in some ways they've been conspiracy theorists or considered that way, who have thought all along that there was some giant cover-up by Boeing here and they always knew more than they said. And I was wary about that. But I have to tell you, Steve, in the last couple of weeks, there's just been this drip, drip, drip of information that's come out that essentially says that much earlier than people thought, Boeing knew that there was a problem with this airplane. Maybe not a deadly problem, maybe not a huge problem, but they knew that this automated system perhaps did not work as it should. And our listeners may have seen some text messages that became public about a week ago between two test pilots. And of course, you know, when you text somebody who's a colleague or a friend, you never expect it to go public. But I have to tell you, Steve, these text messages, they were just not good. You know, the two of them were talking about the need to get this airplane approved as quickly as possible, even though they knew it didn't quite work right. So I think that regulators and members of Congress are really going to be looking into this over the next several weeks. And folks may have also noticed Boeing had a little bit of a shakeup in its top executive ranks earlier this week. It replaced the president and CEO of Boeing Commercial Airplanes. That's the group that is in charge of, you know, the MAX. And we might see more heads roll in the next weeks or months. It's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, and Dennis Muilenburg, the CEO and chairman of the company, lost his title as board chairman in all of this. So you know something, that's something big that's happening behind the scenes.
That's right, Steve. Boeing had held off on doing that for a long time, but I think they realized, the board realized recently that it had no choice, and we're going to have to see if the CEO even can keep his job over the long term.
Yeah, and one of the interesting parts of this story, and I know you've been writing about it, is how the airlines and Boeing have been getting along through all of this, at least through what we've been seeing as the lens from the public eye looking in. They seem to be kind of coexisting. But I wonder if there's more going on behind the scenes, because these airlines now have been without this aircraft for a year.
There's certainly more going on behind the scenes, Steve. The thing is that airlines, United, American, Southwest, they all expect to recover compensation from Boeing. And I think that the executives at these U.S. airlines have made the calculation that if you're going to go after Boeing for hundreds of millions or billions of dollars, you don't want to embarrass Boeing in public. So U.S. airlines in public have been saying all the right things. You know, they're our trusted partners. But I think that when they're all in the room, they're saying, you know, this has been a horrible experience. We need lots and lots of compensation. Do better, Boeing. And usually what happens in this situation, although maybe not always, is airlines can get a really nice discount on a future aircraft. So I would imagine that that's what the U.S. airlines are going for. Interestingly, Steve, on Thursday of this week, American Airlines had its earnings call, and I think a reporter asked Doug Parker, American CEO, a very pointed question about what Parker thought about Boeing's current leadership. And all Parker said back was no comment. You don't hear that much on an earnings call. Usually they can say a sentence or two that means nothing. They don't actually say no comment. So that probably tells you how touchy this whole situation is.
Let's change the subject. United Airlines designing a regional jet that is sort of caters to big spenders and first class flyers in small cities.
Yes, and this is going to be a big deal in Chicago, Steve. I think next week, United is rolling out what it's called the CRJ-550. It is a regional airplane. It's a regional jet. And historically, nobody likes getting on a regional jet. They're cramped. There's nowhere to put your bags. It's just not a good experience. United Airlines is making a big deal of the fact that they are rethinking the regional jet. So this is an airplane, Steve, that usually has 70 seats on it. United has put only 50 seats on it, so there's going to be an extra large first class, more extra legroom seats than usual, and even the seats in the back of the airplane that are usually very cramped are going to have much more legroom. There's going to be space to put your bags. I think that there's going to be a self-service bar for first-class passengers. It's going to fly to some very interesting cities out of Chicago. I'm looking at the route map now. Green Bay, Syracuse, Allentown, Pennsylvania, Richmond, Virginia, Oklahoma City, St. Louis, and maybe 10 other cities. So, you know, if you're flying on a route of, say, 500 to 800 miles from Chicago later this year or next year, you might end up on one of these special planes. So it'll be very interesting. United is saying that it's doing it basically because a lot of the routes that go to those cities that I just named right now don't have a first class. So the United has been flying these 50-seat jets that don't have a first class, and they don't have extra legroom seats. And people want them. They're willing to pay for them. So that if you're in Green Bay and you need to go to London, right now you basically have two choices. You can fly American through Chicago. You can fly United through Chicago. American has been offering first class for a long time. That's a nice trip. You get to go from Green Bay to Chicago in first class, and you get to go from Chicago to London in business class. United hasn't had that option, but with this new airplane, that they will.
You know, as I look at some of the pictures, too, I'm reminded a little bit of Midwest Express. I don't know if you remember Midwest Express, where they had these nice leather chairs and there was plenty of room and it all felt like first class. That's what I get the feeling when I see these pictures.
Yeah, it's a nice airplane. Of course, Midwest Express was known for those hot baked cookies on board, right? I don't think United is going to have those. But it's an interesting situation. United says there's a lot of premium demand. I mean, it's possible that of a lot of our listeners, like most people, usually fly in coach. But I have to tell you, Steve, all these airlines are saying business class, first class, premium economy demand is just sky high right now. And United wants to service it.
Yeah. And so what do you think the tickets are going to cost on this? What's the average ticket price?
You know, Steve, ticket prices are a function of supply and demand. And it sounds funny to say this, but the ticket prices are probably going to be the same as they always have been. And they're certainly going to be the same as what American is charging. People know these airlines, they match each other all the time. American has a fare sale from Green Bay to Chicago. United is going to charge exactly the same price. It's just the way it works.
There's another story I want to get to before we leave you this morning, Brian. JetBlue Airways cutting back a little bit on its Latin American network. What's going on?
Yeah, JetBlue came out and said this week their network in the Caribbean and Mexico is under a bit of pressure. We know that JetBlue is not a very big airline in Chicago at all, but on the East Coast, it is. Fort Lauderdale, Orlando, New York, and Boston are their big cities on the East Coast. You know, everybody still wants to go to the Caribbean, as it just so happens. We've all been reading the news, and, you know, some markets do better than others. So there have been some issues, I think, in Punta Cana recently in the Dominican Republic. So if you're an airline like JetBlue, you say, we have a little bit of a problem here. We have to figure out if people aren't going to Punta Cana, where else in the Caribbean do they want to go in February? So that's one thing. They're just kind of moving airplanes around to chase the places that people want to go now. I think they'll be fine in the Caribbean long term. Their other issue was in Mexico City. JetBlue went into Mexico City a few years ago. That's a good market for like a full service airline like United or American. It's a good business city. It's a major global city. JetBlue is more of a leisure airline. They don't have a big brand in Mexico, so it's hard for them to sell tickets to people who live in Mexico. And it turned out Mexico City was a really, really bad market for them, even though it's a good market for other airlines. So early next year, JetBlue is pulling out of Mexico City entirely. I think that their bread and butter is just places like Cancun and Puerto Rico, vacation places. They seem to have just a little bit more trouble with global business cities. Of course, they're going to be expanding within the next couple of years to London and maybe Paris. So hopefully they can figure it out better in Europe than they did in Mexico.
All right, Brian. Good talk as always. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Brian Summers, Senior Aviation Business Editor at Skift.com, with us every Friday here on the Opening Bell for the business of aviation and travel.